This is Bruce Marable from EmployCycle, the HR analytics dashboard for small and medium companies. Since we already host an HR podcast, we thought the best way we could provide value is to share interviews about how HR and business leaders are trying to reduce stress and anxiety with their employees during this coronavirus public health crisis. Please listen to the following interviews, and we hope that it helps you and your company. Thanks so much for taking time out of your busy schedule and during this crisis to help the public better understand how employees of farmers and agricultural companies are being affected by coronavirus. And especially as you have, you know, a pretty important organization association to run. And so what I'm going to do is just ask you some short rapid fire questions just for people to know who you are. And then we'll go into some deeper questions. So first, your name, your organization you're associated with, and your title.
Sure. Thanks for having me on the podcast, Bruce. My name is Darren Kopic. I'm the president and CEO of the Agricultural Retailers Association.
Okay. And then in normal times, before COVID, what does the Agricultural Retailers Association do?
So our members are the companies that supply farmers. They can be cooperatives, they can be privately held, they can be family businesses, they can be multinationals. It doesn't matter the size or the structure of the business, but they're the companies that provide fertilizer, they provide crop protection, they provide seed, fuel, all kinds of other things, custom application, agronomy consulting, precision ag services, anything a farmer needs to grow a crop, they come to our members to get. And so springtime, even though some of the country is planting all the time, springtime is the busiest time for everybody. And so our focus in the last few weeks on behalf of our members is to make sure that they can still do their jobs.
So with everyone talking about supply chain, food services, how can people get food, but also stay at home, it seems like what you're doing is really important right now. And so how are the employees working in the spaces of organizations that you're helping? How are they dealing with this? Are they considered essential? If so, what kind of challenges are they dealing with? What does this all look like right now?
One of the early and most important things that happened is that the Department of Homeland Security designated agriculture as one of the critical infrastructure industries. And so once they did that, then our companies and their employees were fairly clear that they needed to be out there still doing their job. And you're right, you know, COVID-19 is a big enough problem as it is. But had we not been able to get out there and support growers and produce the agricultural bounty of the country, we would have a food problem in addition to COVID-19 in a few months. So it's been really important to be able to get our people out there and continue working.
Now, with, and again, I'm nowhere near an expert on people working on farms and what farm life looks like. I'm a city guy. But in regards to people working in these environments, what does that look like from a social distancing standpoint? I mean, in my mind, I think of a huge farm. I'm thinking there's enough space for people to be able to work around. But I know farms aren't the only organizations that are dealing with the food supply chain. So what does social distancing look like? What is using PPE look like if that's necessary? How are people managing all of that?
It's a great question, and it's difficult. It's different with each section of the industry. I was reading an article just a little bit ago about a meat processing plant closing down because some of their employees had contracted the disease. But you see stories all the time about dairy farmers producing milk, but they can't get the processor to take it because of the demand has collapsed for food service use. Same thing in eggs. So on the livestock side, it's been a pretty difficult situation. In ours, you know, if you get out there in a tractor in the middle of a 200-acre field, you're pretty well social distanced from everybody else. And so the big row crop type of applications are okay. But you get into specialty crops where you need to have migrant labor to plant or harvest or both. You need to make sure that you're, first of all, allowing access to that supply of migrant labor that doesn't get stopped at the border, that they have the adequate protection that they need to do the jobs that they need. So especially if we're applying products to control weeds or pests, a lot of those products require personal protective equipment, and it's the same kind of mask that the hospitals also want for their operations. So we're all competing for a very finite supply of some of those PPE items.
If you are an HR person or an owner of a business in this space, what have you been telling people
in regards to helping their employees stay safe while also being able to do their job in the case that they can't get access to the PPE?
They're doing everything that they can to extend the life of that PPE. There are some recommendations that have come out from CDC and OSHA about how you might go about doing that. So there are some ways to maybe extend that life. There may be some situations where you can have an alternative or a substitute form of PPE that works pretty well. But you don't want to put people at risk by not having the right PPE for any length of time. So they've been contacting us quite frequently, and we in turn have been working with the federal agencies to make sure that if there isn't a supply, let's get one produced and get it out there to all of those people that need it so we can do our jobs.
Now, if you are an HR person or a manager at one of these organizations, you have an even tougher job that I'm assuming, well, may not be tougher, but it's just as tough because you are requiring people to be at work. People may not necessarily feel 100% safe being there. So not only do you have to make sure that people feel safe and that they feel cared for and protected, but you also have to make sure that, you know, people are doing social distancing and following the rules and trying to keep things as normal as possible. What kind of advice would you give these managers and HR leaders who are trying to keep up morale while also knowing that people are putting themselves in a potential dangerous situation?
So that's a really important point. A lot of our members have increased the amount of sanitation and cleaning that they do in their facilities. I think the biggest change that most of our retailer members have made is that they've asked their customers, you know, don't just come in to load up a pallet of whatever the product is you need or a truckload. Call us ahead of time. We'll have it ready for you. Handle the paperwork, the payments, all that stuff online. And that way there's no physical contact between the personnel when somebody comes in to get an order or when it's delivered to the field. I've even heard one case where people were exchanging bills of lading by putting them in a cellophane envelope so that the people were not touching the same piece of paper. So there are certainly some steps and some creative things that have been done to minimize those risks. And the people are just doing everything they possibly can to keep that essential business open, but protect their people at the same time.
Now, when it comes to a lot of the businesses that your association represents, if there are, in fact, cases that have been found, are these places required to close down, or are they able to quarantine just sections of it, especially when you're dealing with things like food? Because I know a lot of people are interested in that and concerned about that. How does that work?
Well, our members deal only on the input side of the equation, so we're not involved in the food processing plants or flour millers or bakeries and all that kind of thing. But if somebody does get the disease, what typically will happen is that that part of whatever part of the plant they were in or the warehouse will be closed and cleansed thoroughly, and that person is sent home. None of our people are going to ask somebody who's sick to come back and work because it's not right for that person to make that ask, but you also put the rest of your team at risk if you do that. So they're watching it very carefully and making sure that if somebody might be sick, they get checked out and they stay home.
Now, I'll ask this last question just because I'm personally curious, but has this driven up the demand in consumption for a lot of the food and products and services that a lot of your members are providing, or is it just the same, but people are just consuming it faster at grocery stores or supermarkets?
I think the shift has happened further down the supply chain than where we are. And in big numbers, what it's been is a switch from food service, so restaurants and places where people take finished goods that's already prepared for them, and instead they're buying food at a grocery store. So the total demand is still about the same, but the component has shifted rapidly and significantly, and it's really upset produce markets and milk markets and meat markets and so forth. For us, it hasn't changed the demand a whole lot. We typically are busy planting lots of things this time of year, and we're busy planting things this time of year. So from our standpoint, it hasn't affected the business as far as demand goes.
And for your association itself, I know you said at the beginning of this, before we got started, that because you had already moved a lot of things to the cloud, it was really easy for you to just flip the switch to work remotely. How has your own team been dealing with this, and what type of things is the association doing to make sure that your employees, or you're helping to reduce the stress and anxiety of your employee base?
Well, we, through a combination of good planning and good luck, and maybe more good luck, transitioned pretty much all of our systems into the cloud a couple of years ago. So whether it's membership fulfillment, whether it's paying bills or receiving checks or communicating with people, all of that can be done virtually. And so all we had to do about 3 weeks ago was say, start on Monday, we're all going to be working virtually. And people have made the switch, and it's adapted really well. It makes it a little more challenging if you're trying to advocate an issue with Congress or with the agencies. You got to track down those people. But if they're not traveling, and if they're not, you know, involved in things that take their time away that way, and they're also working from home, sometimes they're easier to reach.
Got it. Darren, thank you so much for this. I mean, you're definitely in a extremely essential business, helping a lot of organizations stay afloat, navigate through this crisis, and figure out how do they keep their employees going to be able to make sure that everyone has all the food and food-related products that they need, while also making sure that their employees are safe and healthy as well. So thank you so much. We hope that you, your family, you know, all the companies that you work with and your own team are safe and healthy. And thanks so much for taking time during this as we're all dealing with this health crisis. Really appreciate it.
Well, thanks for the invitation. I appreciate it very much.
If this interview helped you, please send to all the HR and business leaders in your network, since we're all looking for some reassurance, some guidance, and a sense of community. Stay tuned for more episodes by subscribing to the Employee Cycle podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever else you listen to podcast episodes. Or you could also check in at employeecycle.com/podcast to get more interviews like this. Please stay safe and stay healthy. Talk to you soon.